this summer. Four guys who enjoy looking at horses and punting on horses band together to give you mail on horses. Live from their kitchens around Australia, Drew Patchell.
$50,000! That'll buy you one heck of a blumpkin!
Right you are, Pep.
Pete Anthonis.
Oh, really? You learned that in med school? That you obviously didn't get into?
Rob Scurry.
Paddy needs to get his rocks off.
And Jack Dickens.
I'm not kidding. I'm fucking in, and you're fucking out. Now get the fuck out of my chair.
This is The Mailbag.
Don't be scared, little girl. It's only me. And who is me? I'm the king of the king of the king of the sea.
Welcome to The Mailbag. It is a Monday night. You might be hearing this on a Tuesday. This is Drew. I am joined by Rob, Pistol Pete, and Dicko Jack Dickens. How are we doing, boys?
Good, Rob, you?
Yeah, mate. Yeah, love and life.
Petey will be joining in a bit as well, so he's just cleaning up a few things, but he'll jump in when he's needed.
What type of wine are you indulging in, Robert?
I'm on my second bottle. I've got the in-laws here, so we've got a bit of a Barossa Shiraz. We started with a Coonawarra Cabs, just classic, yeah? Aussie.
yeah, cool, man. Cool, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. Goes nicely with a nice goat beer on a Monday evening when it's nice and warm. So I'll stick to the beers, boys.
Oh, hang on. Walshie's just texted me.
Oh, what's that little hobbit saying?
He's calling you that big fucker from the other bloody...
Game of Thrones?
The Bible movie. Harry Potter. The big man, some big guy. I don't know. I don't watch that either.
I'll take him. He's good. If he had said Hodor from Game of Thrones, I'd have been a bit annoyed.
Kelly Calaprod. Come on, let's go.
Yeah, come on.
So, boys, let's
Garrett,
get straight
where's
into
Garrett
it.
McLean's little prod? Come on.
So
keep it up, vibe. Keep it interesting.
Straight into the questions. Richard on Twitter. Team's thoughts on Nature Strip not being set for the Lightning and Waller instead running a colt. ... Stallion fees. Money sign. Is breeding ruining the sport with regards to great horses?
Rob, you first or me?
There you go, mate.
I think this is a complete and utter beat-up. I think it's a comprehensive failing and a highlight of how inept journalism is in racing, because there's a lot of people who pretend to be tipsters that don't bet, so you're a journalist. So investigate stories and get answers on things like Darren Weir and his jiggers. Because like when I go to bed tonight, I go into the bathroom tonight and I brush my teeth. You know how many toothbrushes I got?
How many?
One.
How many do I have?
When I have two kids and a wife, I'll probably have four. So one each of them can use one. That's the interpretation. That's the understanding that I reckon a normal person would get from this four jigger thing. But it's not talked about, it's not investigated, it's just left alone. And we get these bullshit pieces about shit races that it's 2 minutes on my Saturday. The horse is probably not going to that race because Darren Weir got caught jigging horses, and the horse's prep got thrown out the window and it got scratched from Mooney Valley, and his prep got put back a week.
100%.
Chris Waller can do whatever he wants. Like,
well, he can do whatever he wants.
It's an utter joke.
He can do whatever he wants, Chris Waller. That's kind of clear up in Sydney. He is too big to fail.
Oh, be careful. Two weeks ago, I said the same.
Said the same thing down here.
I think it's too big to fail. I think it's a bit of... I think it seems a natural progression for the horse to go to the Oakley Plate. He's never won a Group 1. He'll get in on a really kind of favourable weight. I can't see why... You know, how long is it? Like 2 weeks? Is it 3 weeks between the runs? I'm not sure. But it just seems like the natural race for it to go to. It's a handicap. It just would be winning. It's a Group 1. So,
or wherever it goes. It's run its second biggest... We'll get to that race later on. Thanks to puninform.com.au. It's run enormous. I just want to make this very clear, my opinion here. I don't think it's actually really a story. There's... I'll let it go. I don't want to offend anyone. Pete have to edit the shit out of this, so let's just move forward.
Fair enough. I have my own question to add into the mix. According to the puntingform.com.au data, the past 4 years of the Colts and Geldings Blue Diamond prelude has been significantly higher rating than the Phillies, yet the Phillies maintains a Group 2 status and the Colts and Geldings is a Group 3 status. This is on the same lines of the breeders ruling what we're doing.
I think that's a question for the Felgates and the Matt Stewarts of this world. The I don't know who would be the one at racing.com, but
it's a great carpenter, I think.
Yeah, but I don't care.
I kind of do, because it annoys the shit out of me when I see that there's more Phillies group racing than there is Colts and Geldings. Like, it makes no sense when they're rating better.
Well, there's a lot more things. There's much bigger things that affect, like, my wagering and like, what I eat for dinner. Like, it was pretty bleak here tonight, let me tell you. You know, there's a lot more important things to me than what a class of a race is. What I was going to say, and I'm going to say this, how hasn't there been more investigation into how and who was responsible for letting the Weir stable get as large as it's gotten? He was caught, from what I read, and if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but I read that he was caught with tubes and things of that nature, and he and Jared were read like they were caught lying to stewards in 2006. I don't understand why stables are allowed to get so big that they're out, like Rob just said, they're too big to fail.
Yeah, you go look into the history of, like, the Smurdens, and it's just bloody really bleak when you consider it. Like, I was reading into it, it's pretty damning in terms of what happened with the Smurdens. And look, we had a past. I think what's even worse for the industry is that there's a 12-hour behind doors session, and we don't hear why there's been a 4-year plea put on the table for something that realistically could have been contested. So obviously,
I'm assuming that there's more to come in that aspect of this, and if there's not, then holy hell. But surely there is.
There has to be, but knowing racing, they don't like to release this stuff. Like, it's bad.
I think the times are changing. It's like Ascari tweeted it, which was a good tweet. People can't get away with what they used to be able to get away with because of, like, data and independent analysts and voices. There's a lot more voices. You know, 20 years ago, if one of us, the three of us, or Pete had an opinion on, like, that this was a joke, that we think this guy's cheating, what would you do? Call it the radio or something?
Yeah. No, we'd back their horses.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Now it's a lot. There's a lot more transparency through independent, fearless voices.
Yeah, and let's just hope that improves, and maybe the stewards take a bit of initiative and start holding on to a few horses on race day rather than doing the same old practices that everyone knows what the practices are, so they know how to cheat them.
I think we need to be I am not criticising the stewards at all. I love the stewards. I think they do a fantastic job.
Not criticising them at all. Racing. I'm simply saying we need to innovate it.
People running races.
Let's move on straight into the review of the races. So let's start with Victoria, where we started the day with a distance race where Yogi, who has gone absolutely grouse, not being whipped.
It's very interesting race. Don't know what to make of it.
They've gone slow.
Jeez, it's... Yeah. Look, again, how do you handle the Weir horses? I think, as a rule, at least for last week and possibly through to next week, just assume we're still training them. That's how I'm going to try and handle it. Yogi paraded really well. I gave it a really good push in the mounting yard mail, but I wasn't sure how to play the race, so I left it alone. But yeah, the real slow early tempos makes me question the race going forward.
It's a bit fucked. It's a bit fucked. Yogi's one of your horses, mate, and had a cool chat for poor old Tixie not get up there. And I was on it in the run. How did that not fucking win?
Yeah, well, I think it's a milk drinker. That's right, Rob, with Yogi. Like, I backed that thing most starts last prep and got out in front of it thanks to a huge crack in that last race at Sandown. But, you know, that torch is fresh in my memory.
Moving on, I think race four is the next one. Nature Strip has absolutely burnt along 4.4 lengths better, faster than the class benchmark to the 600. That's absolutely just flying around.
He has broken their hearts here. He's recorded his second best ever figure. He's run a figure very similar to this. Might be half a point quicker, but it's inside his top three runs in his career. Now, what that means for this prep, I don't know, but it could be really, really exciting. It's just a demolition, eh? He barely moved on the horse. It was slow away too, so it could, if it jumped clean, that got to only help the rest of them. Wherever this thing goes, I think it's tomorrow. I don't think you get a price. The betting in this race was fascinating. This thing was $1.55 out to $1.90 almost. Then
I got $1.90 on track.
Yeah, and it's pissed in. Jungle Edge run second. When you watched it live, I sort of thought, it might be a pretty weak win if Jungle Edge run second to it. But the times are the times, punningform.com.au. The clarity of the data just makes it, you know, true. He's run enormous, enormous times. And it'll be a good race going forward. The horses that like got smashed by it will probably come out and win their right races.
I would probably suggest also that the track was more suitable for Jungle Edge than was expected as going in today, because there was a bit more rain that hit the track than was expected.
Oh, so he's a mudlark too. He wasn't a mudlark.
Yeah.
No.
He's a bloody battler. He's a bloody champion. That horse. He's a good, bloody good horse. Breeds well every start. Real professional. He's a group horse, group sprinter. Jungle Edge. Love him. It's like a beat, poor man's takeover target.
Well, he'll be up in Sydney shortly, I'd assume.
Yeah. You should just stay up there. It never stops freaking raining up there.
Righto, race five. I Am Immortal is faultless. This thing is tough. It's strong. Makes its own luck. It's going to be pretty hard to knock in the big dance.
Give the fillies 2 kilos, though.
Yeah, it could, because it's one of the only horses that makes its own luck. Like, the run that Iron Gabby got, which is favourite, was very similar to the run that Brooklyn Hustler got, or whatever, Hustler, got at Moonee Valley. Like, the seas parted, it cut the corner and exploded. Super impressive win. We talked about it last week, but there's no guarantee he gets that run. He might have to circle them. This is a rock, like a bomb rock. You know what I'm trying to say. It's very late.
Bomb proof.
Drew has a job, guys, and it shits me because I have to start really late to talk about horses. But I get tired. Its racing pattern ticks a lot of boxes for me. I thought Shotmaker was really good. I thought Hawker Hurricane was good. I thought Brazen Brando was over bet, but I'm not totally giving up on it.
Moving on to the fillies, race six taken out by Lyle.
This is revolting. This horse is black booked by myself. It then won at sale. I left it alone too short. And then because it won at sale, I sort of put it into a category that was below other horses in this race. And I was wrong. I overreacted to tidy placement by Anthony Friedman. This did have the suck run 3 wide cover. I thought it was a good spot to be the way the race was run. I thought Aetheri is probably the better horse out of the two Godolphin horses.
Yeah.
Vinnie Kunkka will improve and probably run a huge race in the big one. Noam Gay. Lincoln Star I thought was bolting and probably can go again. Which then, where does that line up with Hulk from the Moonee Valley form? Don't know. And Catch Me was extremely disappointing, but it was choked for half a race, but doesn't explain it just stopping. So I thought it paraded a lot better than it did the previous start when it was sort of half schnicked, zigged and zagged and shit in. It looked like it sort of landed in a better spot, but it was given a much more aggressive choking style ride from M. Zara. I went down and tried to have a good look at this horse. I chatted to the stable about this horse. They had no idea what happened.
I can tell you what happened. You got the rowdy Piper treatment from Zara. Oh, it's just
But it doesn't lose by 7 lengths because of the Piper. You know.
Well, you can as a 2-year-old. Like if it's got any breathing issues whatsoever. If you're choking it down like that, it can make it shit itself in the run. Like, they're very – young fillies. Jeez.
Yeah, each their own. I can't explain the pathetic
I'll effort. Put it to you this way.
Performance, pathetic performance.
If there's one stable then can get them to have a shit run and then peak on the grand stage, just look at Capitalist. The Snowdens do it over and over.
they have a favorite. It fails that previous race on the lead-in, and then it still just wins the main race. So I would not be.
I think that's like fair, but it's not like a rule of thumb. It did happen with Capitalist. I 100% agree with that. Remember, everyone wrote that horse off one run.
Like,
but that horse was exposed. Like, it had won the Magic Millions. It had ticked a lot of boxes. It was a bit more proven than this horse is.
I'd say, but on a starter, it's proven to be, like, if it's getting 2 kilos off I Am Immortal in the Blue Diamond, right, its starter's better. So if it runs to that, it's a chance. But, yeah, I agree, there's a lot of ifs and buts. I just wouldn't be jumping straight off it. I think it's better than the rest of these ones.
Like, if you
told me Brooklyn Hustle or Catch Me, I'd be taking Catch Me, even after those runs.
If I'm getting $8 about Catch Me, it's a bet.
It's 15s.
Oh, well, it's about 15s.
It hasn't come. I think that Catch Me, the only hope you've got, which is a genuine hope, Drew, is that the horse appreciates a much quicker tempo. Like, they've gone punnickthorn.com.au. They've gone 6 lengths slower to the 600 than they did the previous start. It's come home only 2.5 lengths. Slower than it did last start, so it still come home like okay, just so the eye dropped off. So there's merit in what you're saying, but I shouldn't have invested so heavily in a race where there's so many unknowns. I often don't, but I did.
Moving on, race 8, the Ore Stakes. Manuel has stolen this in a slowly run subpar group one.
Why have we skipped Hawkshot? Are you just like full anti-Zara after what he did to Catch Me?
Oh, I had it on top on the YouTube show Hawkshot, and it was double figures at the time. I just didn't want to have to give myself a pat on the back.
Well, I can't remember what you did, but well done if you did.
Modest, Drew, modest. Don't, blow that trumpet. That's what this game's about, man. It's about ego. Let us come on. Let us know. Hawkshot, what did you declare it at double figures?
I did not declare it. No, I said it was the best chance in a tough race, to be quite fair. But Dicko did come around to it.
Half-assed, buddy.
Yeah, you did come around to it on the pre-pod as
what
well.
What I will say, punters, is Drew is betting more cash than I've ever seen him bet. So that's how that gets respect from moi. He's betting large. He's putting money where his mouth is, and that's the quickest way to get good, I think. Now, look, that was a weird race. Hawkshot won. Well done, Hawkshot. Manuel, well done, Manuel. Weird race, don't really care. I think suited by the pattern. I reckon Land of Plenty was a run of that race with the most improvement to come from the yard. I think Land of Plenty will win whatever its grand final is. Is this grand final the All-Star Mile? If it is, it'll win it. I don't really care, though, because it's a weird-looking race. And it might get stuck, like Drew said, running over the top of, like, have to become a hurdler to get over the top of Urban Ruler. But anyway, fastest 600. 400 and 200 meter close of the card. What do you reckon it was, Rob? At Caulfield.
On the whole day, Land of
whole
Plenty.
Whole day. No. A better looking horse in Land of Plenty.
It wasn't Kementari.
Better looking horse in Kementari.
Oh.
Complete nonny, though.
Complete nonny. Material man?
So see bone.
Oh, get the fuck out. 100%. Oh, the whole race is under a shadow now. Oh, yeah, yuck.
Exactly right. Red Kirk Warrior was the second fastest last 600 metres of the day there at Caulfield. Also the second fastest last 400. Land of Plenty clocked the fifth fastest last 6, the fourth fastest last 400, the second fastest last 200. It's ready to win. Anything else interesting from the data there, Drewy?
I'm more just looking at best of day, so I thought it was a bit unlucky you sent out on top.
Shut up, man. I don't talk about this horse. It should have won. It was Willard, I thought.
Oh, I was on a first up in Sydney, mate. Similar, I was all about it.
Eight fastest last 200 metres of the day, somehow, despite being buried amongst horses, rumps. It was enormous. Interesting, Nature Strip recorded the 73rd fastest last 200 metres of the day whilst recording the best figure I've seen in two months.
Didn't write it out.
Fast horses win big races. Go as quick as you can early.
Exactly.
Just broken their arse there. Anything else, Drew? That's probably it, mate.
Race 9.
Careful.
Kementari.
I don't know if Peter's on the line yet or not, but we need to talk about Material Man and what those connections did to themselves.
Lucy Warwick.
Well, no, it's not her fault. It's like if I sign up, if Rob's a professional footballer and I draft him to the Swans and then I put him centre-half forward, first game, grand final, MCG, like as if I'd fucking do that because I'm not an idiot.
Fair point.
They put her on in a group one at Caulfield, which is a tricky track, first ever run in Victoria, first ever ride. And she got it well wrong and probably – I think that horse probably should have won the race. But don't blame her. It's poor, poor work by the connections.
Fair enough. We'll get Petey when he's doing the Perth review in a bit to jump on. He'll be about 10 minutes away. And finish off Victoria, race 9, the group 3, 1,600 metres, where they have gone quite fast around, which has suited them, of course. Class-wise, 5.7 lengths faster than class benchmark to the 600. So they've
I'm not interested. Race, weird race. Avilius is a superstar. It was parading a lot. Jonathan Walsh, I thought.
Let's move on to the New South Wales review, Warwick Farm. How's it going, Rob? Good day there, mate.
Yeah, mate. It was good. It was a bit of a breeze, so it wasn't too hot. I was expecting to almost see, you know, the moisture coming out of the ground, but yeah, it was all right. It was moist. It was. We had a lot of big storm the night before, and it was a hot, sunny day, but thank God there was a breeze. Otherwise, I would have just been sweating and might have even, you know, passed on the whole meet, but there was a breeze. Anyway, this two-year-old.
Yeah, so you had a $1.70 favorite going around here in Time to Rain. They've gone class benchmark-wise four lengths faster than the 600. So they've put the speed on here with the soft seven, probably a heavy eight track that early, you'd probably say. Mm-hmm. And you've just
Time to Rain for the Godbotherers,
the Portelli stable.
No, doesn't it?
Derby Racing.
Derby.
Ah, yes.
You know, another thing about Derby is they actually have a ute with a tub, which is a big no-no, and just heavily branded with all their like Derby stickers all over it.
Beautiful.
Does anyone else find that odd?
Tax write-off.
Yeah, tax write-off. That's a good point.
Yeah, why have we got a ute though? What are they taking feed out to Rose Hill or something for their horses?
You got to get the Fiat or mail bagged up, mate. Claim
the Fiat. The Fiat's gone.
Oh. You've got knife.
I needed a bank, so I said, "Babe, we've got to sell it."
Snippable.
She said, "Can we sell your car?" I said, "How do you expect me to get to the races?"
That's good, mate. All right, so yeah, look, Time to Rain did plenty wrong in the yard to make me get pretty excited to have a bet around it. So I went pretty hard on this Cosmic Force, which is a really good style of Snowden horse. I think it's definitely the horse to follow out of the race. He got in a bit of a shit spot. Probably should have won the race. I know, talking through my pocket, but I still think it should have won the race. Bivouac.
Well, it's the only way to talk is through your pocket. Drew and I are here to cover you off with the data. Okay. We want you talking through your pocket and through your eyes, what you saw.
Well, clearly the best type in the race is Cosmic Force, and it's gone down by about a length or less than a length, something like that, and it got squeezed up. Huey didn't do me any favours. Time to Rain, I can't follow it. Cosmic Force, the horse to follow. Bivouac won the race, you know, just a horse. Cosmic Force, he's the one.
Well, there you go, punters, put that down. Follow Cosmic Force. For the Snowdens, was it?
Yeah, Snowdens, China Horse Club. Hugh Bowman.
Another one for the Battlers.
Yeah.
On to race two, real quick. Do you want to touch the highway, yes or no, Noble Boy?
Drew.
Look, all I'll say is this Noble Boy is this proper horse, Saturday horse. My only reason, I sent it out on top with a note saying this is clearly the best type. It's a big, strong bugger. Oh, it's
this thing that sat like eight wide turning and just
pissed
in. And you got plenty out of this thing in play.
No, I didn't get plenty. I won a little bit on the race as opposed to losing, which is great because it was home on the corner, and I spent I only have like $20 per click, but I went click 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 click, click. And that was at the 300. I could see it was home. It's a proper horse, this Noble Boy, and it can win. You know, I'm going to say off season Saturday minimum.
Now, what has happened here in race three? Has Badajoz won a race?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, this
was it not a complete and utter nonny? Hadn't won for like 2 years.
I know.
Hadn't won since Biedman was training it, probably.
Since the other one, Snowden, Biedman's sort of half trained.
When John got sacked and then Darren took over for a little bit, remember?
Oh, yeah. When the systems, the processes were in place and we needed someone to put their name to it.
Yeah. 1-2 after Cummings took over, actually. So it won at Caulfield and Rose Hill, interestingly.
Interesting. So maybe it appreciated the soft being a commands.
Well, you know what it appreciated? They've gone 5.8 lengths slower than class benchmark for the win. So it's just been a race of really poor standard.
Yeah. Look, I thought Super 2 looked a bit angry. I thought a single bullet, absolutely no chance. So I found She Knows, which is one of mine, and I was kind of happy to find her. She did a couple things wrong. She had an inside.
Oh, that's right. I thought she went shit ass.
Look, I thought it was a bad ride. I was expecting Huey to ride it.
Went inside, though, didn't he?
It did. It's got beaten two lengths, mate. I just thought he'd ride it cold. It would just drop back. And it'd go around them. But he was hunting her up over 1,000. I think this is a horse that can get 11, 1,200 metres. I don't know why he's hunting her up over 1,000 and going up the inside. I thought it was an average ride. But, yeah, this is a whole race. It's, you know, there's a whole lot of horses here have finished, a whole lot of them.
Numbers.
Numbers, as Glenn Stewart would say. That's about it. How are you
handling Tom Berry at the moment?
Oh, you know me, man. I just don't do any form, and if I find him, I find him. I think we got out on the result. I think we had a big bet on She Knows, and then we had a little bit on the two good Dolphins, and we chopped down on the race. But yeah, Tommy, I don't hate him. I don't love him.
It's not about hating or liking. It's just about can he ride or not ride.
Fuck yeah. He's top class. He's ridden all over the world, man. He's a fucking good jockey. I feel about as confident as having him on as I do have Glenn Schofield. Similar, you know, got all the ability, but do you really feel, you know, confident?
Let's move on to race 4, where you've sent out a bet on Sandbar and they have absolutely crawled.
No bets. I sent it out on top, perfect for it, but I can't take $1.80.
Yeah.
But I had a little bit on my old mate Charge, which again was another Bowman shit ride, if you ask me.
Asking you. Tell it how it is.
Yeah. Okay. I thought it was.
Is he fully winks mode?
Possibly. She's running this week. Oh, we're excited. Gem Song looked really soft, so I couldn't have it. And we've got a 50-1 Purple Sector that's run second. So Master Ash has gone terrible. Exceltic got reshot behind the barrier he might have got his leg over or something, and then they ran it. Lay when you do that. You don't want anything behind the barrier. Just get your bet off. I've learned it's like a fucking golden rule, you know. If your horse is vetted behind the gates, get your bet off. Charge, yeah, I thought it was a bit underdone, but yeah, a bit worried about all of these. You know,
Gem Song. I think we should explain how you can get your bet off, just because maybe people aren't fully aware. When you bet on betfair.com.au, you can back and lay a horse. So you can have $50 on at a certain price, say $6, and you'd probably be able to get out for $6 or, you know, $6.40 and just pay a little fine.
Yeah, pay the fine.
If the back side is matching at $6, you'd probably be – the lay side would be matching at $6.20. But betfair.com.au gives you a lot more flexibility when you really start to wager.
Just a quick one on Gem Song's data. It's never run a fast time. It's only ever won in sit sprints like this, and that's why it's won, in my opinion, and I would not be following it forward.
Well, a lot of people will be.
Drew's gone blank. Because it was fat, Drew, saying it's fat.
Okay. It depends where they go. If they go to something hard and they're group 3, they're going to push up to a group 2 or group 1. I think it'd be outclassed there.
Yeah, look, I've been saying for a while that I think these 3-year-olds are fucking rubbish, and everyone's saying the Autumn. You made me a bit sick the other day, Dicko, when you said the Autumn Sun's the second best horse in Australia. The second best horse in Australia is Elise. Autumn Sun might be fucking top 10, if that. The 3-year-olds
I hope they go to the races together in the All Star Mile. Geez, I've talked about the race I hate a lot, but if they did match up for the All Star Mile, I can't wait, because he will fucking destroy her.
That's an absolute joke. She's actually a chance to beat fucking Winx. Like, she's an absolute.
But so is he.
No, he's no chance to beat. He's
actually got improvement. Remember this time last year, she had the improvement and she kept running like okay races.
Yeah, this time last year she won first up and then she didn't do anything. I had 10 units on her, 10 units.
Lise, that's how a little bit. She reminds me of this. I can't, not going to say it.
Don't compare.
Once upon a time, I got led down the garden path, you know. I thought, oh my God, imagine this. And I sort of spent my money before I earned it. I feel like Elise's potentially done that to a lot of punters. I hope that she delivers, but I think the Autumn Sun will wipe her like a dirty ass.
Did you see his trial this morning, though? The Autumn Sun?
No. I saw him walk at Caulfield. He's a fucking superstar.
I'd check out the trial. It's interesting.
No. Anyway, how does Elise move, Drew? How does she move?
Oh, she's bloody brilliant. I like her as a horse. I agree. They're both good horses. I'm not touching this debate.
Okay. Well, Elise would eat Autumn Sun. Anyway, my point is the three-year-olds are shit, and Autumn Sun's the best of a bad lot. We can move on. Best of a bad lot, mate. They're shit. What's it beat? That Colin Little benchmark 70 horse in the Corville Guineas. What was that?
Vacillator.
Yeah, Vacillator benchmark 70 horse. Really, barely a Saturday horse. And
All right, I'm going to look up a laser while you keep talking about your horse.
Let's move on to race 5 quickly. Fiesta's got the job done from Esther Jab, who returned quite well. Had position at the front, just got run down late. A couple of decent runs in there. Your thoughts on the race?
I found.
How do you spell Lise?
Good man. Like the liquor. A-L-I-Z-E-E.
Isn't that like a chick's drink, like green?
Yeah, the more weight, Alize, Kimmy, Pissy, girls used to diss me. Now they're like. You know that, Drew. That's that's Puff. That's Biggie. It's Biggie and Puff. Ready to die.
I do know it, unfortunately.
So anyway, Fiesta, she was much more underdone than she was first up last time because we had a good winner on her first up in the spring. But I thought she just looked like even too laid back for Waller and too underdone. SD Jab looked really forward. I had a massive go here on Denawi. I was pleased to see that the gold Glenster said it was the only horse to follow out of the race, so I didn't feel quite so bad after it ran 9 lengths last and never looked likely. But, yeah, he's the one to follow out of the race. SJ, maybe a couple of runs in it. Fiesta, yeah, he's actually a good horse. And as I said, these three-year-olds are shit, and she's about as good as any of them.
What do you reckon of a horse like, say, Shoals? Where do you have her ranked?
I think I haven't quite got her pegged. She's really good. She's somewhere between. She's a bit like Elise. She 1200 meter horse. She's a 1600 meter horse. But
she belted Elise up on a soft track there at Randwick, away from home.
Yeah, mate, that was a while back now. Elise is just getting better.
Daisy Doom. I mean, she got beaten by Daisy Doom. She carried 54 and Glenn.
That was in the Coolmore Classic. She was a moral beat and had 10 units on her, 5 units each way at about 12-1. So don't tell me about that run. If you watch the run, she's a good thing licked.
She beat Prompt Response, I guess.
Oh, yeah, by 3. She's my girl too. But no, have you seen what she's done this time?
She's knocked over fucking Hudson Eagle, who runs down the straight in like the middle of summer down here. And now La Roman. He's been up for fucking five years. Killed off Pride Dubai. La Romain, he put Pride Dubai into the breeding bone and said, "Son, you're done. Get off a racetrack. Go and start touching up fillies."
Druzy loves La Romain. He reckons he's in the top 5 horses in the country, don't you, Druzy?
Well, until Best of Days beat him in the bloody Kennedy Mile on me. Oh. Terrible. Oh,
fuck. Don't talk to me about Best of Days. We were on him at benchmark 80 first up, Drew. All right?
Yeah,
It was very, very, very sad. J-Mac didn't do me a favour that day. Now we're going to go to the
Champagne Cuddles.
oh, she's my girl. You know, she was running against Elisa. Look, Champagne Cuzzle's a little fucking trier. She's just a little engine that could. You see her stick her neck out over the line. She's just trying to find the line. She's limited, and I'm glad she's won a Group 2. But most of these horses, I'm not sure that bloody good.
They've gone like 8 lengths slower than class benchmark to the 600, so it's just been a sit and sprint, and she's just had the A1 position and just been too good.
What we are going to talk about is the last race.
Yeah.
Holy shit. God bless you, Rob, you sick little puppy. This thing was winning on the turn, and then the only horse that could beat it, which I didn't know what it was because good old Caulfield turned the sound off because they were finished. I was thinking, who the fuck is this thing? I was actually winning a little bit more on it. Thank you very much for what you did. I had a rough weekend, and I went harder than I should have. The only regret I have is I didn't put an exactor on.
Didn't even tip your Uber driver, mate.
Not even
exactor. Like I do every week, I gave him a little bit of life advice. And tried not to throw up as he fanged around Melbourne.
I actually had the trifecta here in the top three numbers in order here, Dicko. If we had first, second, third, and it's paid $1,600 to the dollar. I didn't have a dollar on.
Rob, you know how I operate, mate. I'm under the pump. I'm always under the pump. I'm just all about the units. Where are they going and how much? Oh, he's confident here. I'm launching.
Oh, mate. That's yeah, look, I'd had a lot bigger bets on 20 to 1 shots during the day. So anyway, but look, this has been a good old highway horse of mine, Cisco Bay, and I've never seen it look better. So Christian Buchanan can train, Robbie Dolan can ride. Animalia was the second pick. Just took really, really well. So I was happy to have a little bet on that. I would have hated it to have won and not been gone. And looks like Elvis, I think we were on it the week before as well. And yeah, not much more to say. It was winning a long way out. I didn't even get to stay, mate. I had to rush home to go out with the missus. I was listening to it in the car. What
torture is that, eh? Like,
that's torture.
Now, Robert, horse to follow?
Horse to follow. We're going to say that the 2-year-old in the first for Cosmic, Cosmic Force. I think
boys. I was a bit mumbled. You were talking over each other.
Cosmic Force.
Race 1, Warwick Farm, Cosmic Force for Peter and Paul Snowden.
Possibly could have missed its chance, though. Possibly should have won. Out of the whole meeting, Fiesta is going to win going forward. Nothing in that race is going to beat Fiesta. That's it. Move on. Petey.
Let's move on to WA, and we're joined by Peter the Pistol Antunes. How you doing, Pistol?
Much better after Sunday, Druzy.
Saturday, you sound good.
Oh, I sound outstanding as always.
Sneaky little fucker just sitting there in the dark in the shadows.
He's got the Aubrey Cup with him as well, just sitting as...
Aubrey?
Is it Aubrey? Close. Albany.
Just 6 hours by aeroplane.
Yep. Albany. Not none of
How was
Albany.
That? Did you enjoy that or what?
It was my first time on course. It was about 20 degrees. It was very windy. There was only about 800 people there for Cup Day, which is a little bit disappointing. I was really just absolutely stoked for the trainer and the jock, Mitchie Payton and Darren McAuliffe, because they're both Albany boys. So first time they've both won the Albany Cup, and yeah, it was just fucking great to be there on course and celebrate. But you know, put things in perspective, it's just another race, one race at a time. You know, just keep everything eyes on the prize.
And you got a big week ahead, Peter.
Yeah, I do. So we're gonna just
training camp.
Yep, training camp over there. So Scotty Williams, good friend of the show, pointed out that Dicko's liver is obviously not allowing him to drink anything anymore. So Scotty said it makes him feel better about his own drinking abilities. So, Dicko, you're in a world of pain, my friend, because I am piss fit.
You said you were piss fit when I came over for your 30th, and I feel like I pretty comfortably put you to bed. So the title's there for the taking, and you could probably – I'd say you're a chance. I am preferring to pursue other aspects of my life.
as opposed to drinking as much as I can, smoking as many darts as I can.
Well, that's lame. All right, let's kick in.
So let's get straight into it. Pinjarra. Mighty Pinjarra. Where is Pinjarra?
You go an hour south and then go inland for about
like
10
straight
minutes.
Into the sea? Just go straight into the sea.
No,
yeah, no. Straight into the sea.
Oh, it may as well be in the fucking sea after Saturday, I'll tell you what. Punters, I can't express how disappointing the sectional data is from a race point of view. Some of these jockeys need to be absolutely fucking flogged after Saturday. So anyone who was watching the first couple of races, obviously it's leader bias, it's on speed favoured, and then you race 4, 13.1 lengths slower than class average. Race 5, 2 lengths slower than class average, but the jockey who landed in front held up to another jockey. Race 6, finally, for a 2-year-old race, they were above class. Then race 7, 5.6 lengths slower. And then race 8, finally, it was roughly 2.4 lengths slower. They were just no initiative whatsoever on what was, if you went to the front and rolled along at a decent speed, you couldn't get run down.
Did it correlate with the betting moves? Or was there any betting moves?
Look, some of the betting moves we actually lined up with, and it didn't really correlate because it was basically who landed in front was able to dictate the race. But in some of those later races, they were going so slow it didn't matter. Like just
well, it's convenient that there was no dodgy betting moves, though, isn't it? Pretty convenient.
Sure. I must say, normally Pinjarra,
given
you don't see the same sort of betting moves as such. Like the money on the fair isn't quite the same. It's just,
but given that there's no actual betting steward in Western Australia.
Well, yeah, you never see anything mentioned about betting moves in the stewards' reports.
It's funny, here, isn't it?
So, yeah. You basically got me and a guy called L. Dayton, who might also do a podcast with me. I think
we're our man.
Our man Dates. So Dates will be manning the
ship.
He's
actually drinking fit. I'd say that he ran second that weekend.
Yeah.
He's a good man.
He's a good man. He's coming off a Bucks day, though, and he was struggling on Saturday, so we'll see.
Oh, God.
Cool.
So, what do we want to do with Pinjarra? How deep do we want to dive into this sort of mining town?
It's mining town. Look, I'm prepared to say that armed with the puntingform.com.au data, I have learnt nothing from this race meet. Outside of, there's a few horses that were not advantaged by the way races were run. But overall, some of these races are of such a poor quality. The overall averaged out benchmark data for the card, guess how many horses broke benchmark?
4.
2.
Oh, fuck.
Two horses broke benchmark for the entire meeting. Now, as a punter, what do you do with this meeting? I'm prepared to basically bin it. If you're backing a horse that was solid in the market and it had no luck whatsoever and it didn't win, follow it up again next start. Because
so less horses broke benchmark at Pinjarra than Darren Weir has jiggers.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. He has got a lot of jiggers for one man, but that's still pretty sad.
So, Petey, I've got a question on a horse who obviously has a lot of ability. They've gone absolutely slow in the race, but it's been the best final 200 of the day, running 10.6 final 200. Samizdat.
Yeah.
Like, it got back on a day you shouldn't be getting back. They've run so slowly. It shouldn't have been suited, but it still won. Was that not an amazing win? Like, could you follow that forward?
No, it was an 800-meter split. Like, that's basically all they've done. And even then, like... Chick's Pick was heavily backed. We jumped on Chick's Pick from the yard. It paraded outstanding. Samizdat has run a fast 600 to 400 and a fast 200 home, including the fastest 200 of the card. Chick's Pick was going so slowly up front that, of course, it's going to get out-sprinted by anything that had momentum. Samizdat was one of those. And I was speaking with Dates about this earlier today, and I thought, I reckon that's one of the best warning signs for a race when you're watching a horse at the back of the field getting its ears scrubbed off and it still pisses in, because it basically means that the entire field is sprinting as one and all it's done is showing that it's got a better turn of foot, so to speak, over the last 400 or 500 metres. The rest of the race is basically irrelevant.
So they're very hard to take. They're very hard to take the form through with any real confidence.
Yeah. Look, no doubt the horse's talent. They've been talking about it for ages. It's also a horse with issues, physical issues. It is probably a group potential horse, but you don't learn anything from that race. I mean, Zatorio was my best roughie in the race. I told punters on the pod to include it in the podcast, to include it in the quaddie, and it's run second, beaten, what, bugger all at
0.8 lengths.
0.8 lengths. Drew, do you have the Betfair starting price on it?
I've got $100 sitting here, but on Betfair that'll mean it's probably about 200 and something. Yeah.
Yeah, it would have been immense odds. Like, that's a horse that's run second in the race. It's like, well, you just bin that. It's just crap.
Yeah, and there didn't look to be many much margins either, the ones I watched.
No, there are a lot of blanket finishes. But again, they've gone so slowly. It's like you can't expect them to be doing anything other than just having blanket finishes. Zatorio was $130 Betfair starting price. And it's run second in that race. Chick's Pick was $3.20 into $2.30 and firm late. It started shorter on Betfair than it did on the tote.
Which is rare.
I'm not...
They usually win.
You know, fourth was $90, fifth was $88. Like, there's just all these massive just... it's a shitty race. It's a pooey race. We'll go back to race six, which was the feature event, the Magic Millions two-year-old classic. And again, like, Pikes won a race where it looks like it's come from an impossible position, just picked up and just assaulted the line. But none of the data at all is anything to write home about. Overall benchmark figure, 8 lengths slower than the average. It's just, what is that? Like, it's just nothing there going forwards. And the runner-up, Nikovi, which was another big spruik horse, looked borderline inept in the yard. And it'll be a really short favourite next start. Guarantee it, 2 weeks he'll be running in another two-year-old race back at Ascot. Home track, it'll be backed from $2.25 into $1.60, and I'll be laying it. Because good. The way that it looked physically in the yard was just, it looked no good.
And it should have won. Like, if it was good enough, it should have been able to hold off Jericho Missile.
100%. Like, it was in a
perfect spot. It was set up for it.
Yeah. It should have pissed in, and Jericho Missile has somehow climbed over it in the last 50 to 100 metres with Pike on board, like it had been shot out of a cannon. And yet you look at all the data here and there's nothing. Like, Jericho Missile, 32nd fastest 200 of the day. What even is that? So, You know, like, there's just a lot of pooey races here. So any of this form going back to Ascot, like, just ignore it, put a big line through it.
So, Petey, looking forward to you being out here. You're obviously not going to be doing Perth Mounting Yard Mail for this Wednesday or this Saturday, but you'll be returning the following Wednesday?
Yeah, something like that.
So the punters want to know, how is the Melbourne, if you guys are both going to the track together, how does the Melbourne Mail come out? Whose decision? Who's making the decision?
Well, maybe we can put that to a vote on Twitter, because I'm very, very happy to have a couple of, like, the week off and watch Pete work. But it's basically going to be a...
Collaborative,
not so much. Whatever. We can put that to a vote. The point is it's about... It's like a uni course in 3 days for Pete and I to improve our intelligence levels to do with horse racing and wagering, which will be a benefit to our wallets, our lives, and to our subscribers, hopefully.
It'll be funny because I'll be coming in with a completely fresh set of eyes. So, like, weir means nothing to me. I don't care if it's an ex-weir horse. Like, the punting form data doesn't lie, and when you're doing your pre-race prep, for me it remains exactly the same no matter who's riding, who's racing, all that sort of shit. So
yeah, and you beat me at Flemington that last time you were here.
Yeah, last
time. Well, until the broad, you know, became in foal, I was planning on having a triple header. Even Drew could get involved, you know, fatal four-way at the Bull over 3 days.
I still reckon that's a fucking outstanding idea. If we can,
yeah, well,
you know, I'm turning
four. I'm due for it to drop right around then, so that's off the cards for me personally.
Oh, mate, I'm turning 40 in May. I'm looking for an excuse to do something.
Let's book it in, Dicko. Sorry.
You want to come down and babysit, Rob?
I've been there, done that, bought the T-shirt next.
No, look, we'll definitely try. I can't do the bull, I don't think, but we will be having a like a fatal four-way contest.
Well, you know what would be the ultimate? Cup week. You got 4 days.
Yeah.
Four punters.
Yeah, and they don't race in Perth or Sydney that week, do they?
Not really, no.
They may as well not.
Fuck it. All right. I'm up for it, boys. I mean, you know, the Sydney Carnival's over by then. I'm up for Derby, Cup, Oaks. Yeah, we could do that.
Yeah, and Walsh, you can keep a book on us. He can take bets on who's going to win.
Yeah, we'll just put like 1,000 in each or something.
Done.
We put 1,000 in each, and Walsh, you can run a book on it.
Yeah.
Punters can bet with Wish.
Boys, I think that's it. I think we've had a really good show. Everyone who's listening, please get in contact. Let us know how you think it's gone. Once again, get involved with the Mounting Yard Mail.
Shorter and sharper.
Or longer. Let us know if you want it longer.
Yeah, we'll be without me. And Rob's had enough. Pete's only been here for 10 minutes. So.
Vince, love and life. Boys, enjoy the week. Go well.